Michigan Rundown Podcast.
Walton, Chapman, hoist a three. Michigan wins!
At midcourt, extra pass.
And it goes for the win!
Presented by Jake Singer.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Michigan Rundown Podcast. My name is Jake Singer, and on today's episode, I'm going to do something a little different for you all. I have been given the opportunity to host a weekly radio show for WCBN FM Ann Arbor here at the University of Michigan, and it has been a blast, and we get a chance to talk about Michigan sports all the time. And I know I'm recording this now on Monday. Michigan has won the Big Ten championship game against Purdue, but I really wanted to share with you all an interview I did with a few of my friends last Thursday right before the championship game, just detailing the game before Michigan played Purdue, as well as college football possibilities. Now that we know Michigan's playing TCU, a lot of this stuff has either come to fruition or some of our speculation has now been proved false. Nonetheless, I think a lot of this information I'm about to share with you all is going to be really helpful. So I hope you enjoy the next 30 minutes of listening to the Daily Sports Report for WCBN FM Ann Arbor, and sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Sports Report on WCBN FM Ann Arbor here on Thursday, December 1st. My name is Jake Singer, and I'm here with Matthew Levy, William Gregory, Kellen Flynn, and Peter Nasser. I got a full group with me today. How are y'all doing this evening?
Sweet.
I'm ready to go. I'm excited. First DSR of the week. Got Indy coming up. Let's go.
Ready to talk some quorum.
We got a lot of stuff on tap for you all. Thank you, Matthew, for kind of segueing me into our
first thing.
I
don't care how Peter's doing. Peter, how are you doing?
It's December already. Happy holiday season to everyone.
Yeah,
it's a whole stretch of the semester.
We got a great week coming up. My birthday's tomorrow.
Oh,
so
happy early birthday.
Thank you. So going to do a little DSR action before the B-Day. But yeah, so we got a lot of stuff on tap for you guys. We're first going to start with, of course, breaking news occurring today. Blake Corum, starting running back for Michigan, is out for the season. He's going to get season-ending knee surgery. So not necessarily a big surprise, but something, of course, to monitor since nothing's really been reported on his knee since about a week and a half ago when he tried playing last week against Ohio State. I think carried the ball one or two times and did not really do much with it. And of course, he was out for the rest of the game. So Corum out for the season. Donovan Edwards will then be expected to pick up the main carrying duties with other guys as well. My first question for you guys is, does this impact Michigan's chances at winning the national championship? And also, who do we expect to step up in Corum's absence if it's not Donovan Edwards, or if it is Donovan Edwards? What do you guys think?
Thank you for the slam dunk questions. Of course, it's going to impact the title chances of the Michigan Wolverines, and Donovan Edwards will be the one to step up if anyone's going to step up. The problem is, I don't think that 75-yard touchdowns grow on trees. So
only when the defense has every player on their side within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and I don't think Purdue's going to do that because obviously, the big plays are what lifted Michigan over Ohio State. So I think this week will actually be really interesting to see in a more like a realistic setting where you're not having 460-plus-yard touchdowns, how Michigan's offense fares.
And it'll be interesting to see if this offense now turns into a pass-first offense, because that's what we saw against Ohio State. It's really going to depend on how these defenses play them. I still think this offensive line, they weren't healthy for the three games before. Now they are. I think they can pick up the slack without Corum, but I do think more will go on J.J. McCarthy, obviously. And I think Donovan Edwards brings that out-of-the-backfield pass-catching ability. We couldn't see it last week because of the hand. Hopefully we could see that this week if he's feeling better.
And Matthew, to your point, give credit to the O-line. They helped Corum all year. I think if they play as well as they have been all year, I think they'll help Donovan Edwards do what he can do, and he's a solid back. He's not like a scrub for it by any means. He can grind out those carries. I think we will focus on trying to get the run going with Edwards too, and maybe Stokes or Gash or whatever. And then, but yes, JJ will definitely get his time to shine again. Let's hope he can make some more plays like he did against Ohio State. I don't expect as many wide open deep hauls as we had this past Saturday, but I do think JJ will have to step up, and I do think he will step up.
So I saw some reports circulating from Michigan insiders, because it was Ian Rappaport who reported that he would be done for the year, that's saying if Michigan were to make the natty, that there's a chance he could be back, because it's... Regardless, assuming he's done for the year, Edwards is going to step up in a big way, but he still has a broken hand. I think it's going to have to be Stokes or Tyvier Dunlap or Isaiah Gatt. One of those guys is going to need to step up, because with how this team operates and runs the ball, either, like Matt said, they're either going to transition and go pass first, or because it's a two-man backfield. There's too many carries for one guy to take them all. And with Edwards having a broken hand, I don't expect him to get all of the groundwork. But like everyone else has said, this offensive line is ridiculous. They have a great chance of repeating as Joe Moore Award winners. And I think whoever's in that backfield is going to have the opportunity to be really, really good and really effective, because teams aren't going to have 10 guys in the box on half the plays like Ohio State did, because Michigan showed that they can burn you over the top with that. They've established that they can do that. And so teams are going to have to respect that, and I think you're going to see a lot more consistency out of the ground game. I'm really interested to see Khalil Mullings' role. He kind of got that short yardage role against Ohio State with no Corum. I'm really interested to see how the running back turned linebacker, now back to running back, fits into this whole equation, because they clearly aren't in love with Stokes or Dunlap or Gash.
I think they trust Mullings a lot, and I'm interested to see, especially with the 3 weeks that are going to elapse between the Big Ten title game and the semifinal, if the zone read game with J.J. McCarthy is developed in practice, because he can run the football. It seems like all year the coaching staff hasn't really let him, and they haven't needed to, but at the end of the game against Illinois, he was using his legs effectively, and I think in the Ohio State game some, he was rolling, and I would just like to see it. I think it adds a dimension now that Michigan needs without Corum, and a quarterback run game that's effective is really tough to stop.
That was a perfect kind of segue into my next question for you guys. That was a good point there, William, about letting JJ be JJ. I mean, they hadn't really let him throw the ball down the field much, and the throws he did throw the ball down the field before Ohio State a lot of times were misses or got called back for penalties or whatever the case may be. And of course, the zone read playing, they did kind of let him do a little bit of that against Ohio State, and you would assume, like they did last year, they kind of save a lot of those plays until these big games. That's what they did also with the Big Ten Championship last year with the Donovan Edwards throw and other sorts. So with Corum out, my next question for you guys is does this add more pressure on JJ's game, or maybe the defense in order to having to stop players and stop plays at a more consistent level without having that big playmaker in Corum? So is this more pressure on the offense or defense going forward now?
I mean, I think last week, it's interesting that, like, normally you want the game before the Big Ten Championship game to be the tune-up against the style of offense you're going to face, but Ohio State is the tougher test compared to Purdue's pass game. But Purdue has a good – they're probably, I'd say, the third or fourth best – pass game in the Big Ten, depending on how you want to count Maryland. So Aiden O'Connell's a good quarterback. They like to throw it a lot, spread it around, and I think that's going to be the game plan against a great Michigan run defense. Although they did run the ball well, Purdue did, in that game last week against Indiana, and Indiana has a good run defense themselves. So we'll see. I think Purdue, their offense is definitely slept on in this game. People are like, oh, you know, Purdue's going to get slaughtered. They're not Iowa. Mm-mm. Like, you know, they're not going to just flounder around and do nothing.
They're going to put up more than three points. Yeah. And they have one of the best receivers in the Big Ten, Charlie Jones. I mean, this guy...
Former Iowa Hawkeye.
But this guy can play. I mean, they're going to have to... I think Will Johnson should get... I think my mic just cut out. But,
oh, you're good.
Yeah, no, but I think Will Johnson, he was guarding Marvin Harrison for most of that game. I mean, this... True freshman, five-star recruit.
He was guarding a Hall of Fame wide receiver?
Potentially. I didn't mean to say that. But I do think Will Johnson against Charlie Jones, I don't know if they're going to keep him one-on-one. I don't know if they're going to shift the zone the way they played Ohio State, but that's going to be the matchup to watch in this game if Michigan's going to slow down this offense.
I think, to go back to your question, Jake, I think there's definitely more pressure on J.J. McCarthy. The defense is... been up to the task all year. I mean, and they put on a brilliant performance against Ohio State. Jesse Minter, Steve Klingscale, those DBs especially played out of their minds. Michigan had one sack, and it came at the very end of the fourth quarter in kind of garbage time. They essentially had zero pressure the whole game on C.J. Stroud. and gave up 3 points in the second half and held the number two offense of the country to 23 total points. I believe that's their lowest total of the year.
No, Northwestern.
In 45-mile-an-hour wins.
21-point game.
Regardless, the defense played incredible, and so I don't think there's any added pressure on them. Like, they're just going to do their thing. I don't know that there's a ton of added pressure on JJ. I think they're comfortable with him and confident in him, but if I had to pick one, I'd say JJ, just because there is going to be a little bit more weight on his arm to produce results when you can't just turn around and hand it to two and get like 7 yards a pop.
Well, Kellen, you said it earlier. You said Michigan has proven that they can throw the ball deep and make people pay on those deep throws. I think the issue that they could run into against Purdue, and it's something that people talked about before they played Ohio State, is that Michigan had really only faced zone coverage for the most part in their games before Ohio State, because teams don't have the talent to run with Michigan wide receivers. It's just the way that it is. You don't put less talented corners in press man situations. Zone is easier to play. That's what
except
most teams
Illinois.
Play.
Except Illinois.
Illinois has a good team.
Yeah.
It has a good defense. But, like, speaking of athlete-wise, Ohio State is the only team that can match up with Michigan athletically on the edge.
I'd say I just really like Witherspoon. That Illinois corner.
Well, yeah, no, I'm talking like on a pure talent.
Fine.
A pure talent level, year to year, Ohio State's the only team that can play that style of defense and possibly be successful. They weren't this year, but well, Purdue, it's like Illinois, Penn State, whatever. Purdue is not them, and they're not going to be able to play press man coverage or any form of man coverage against Michigan in this game. And for that reason, if they fall back into a soft zone, I don't know if the deep shots are going to be there. And in some ways, this matchup could be tougher than Ohio State.
I get what you're saying, because JJ's kind of biggest thing, and even to start the OSU game, like, he missed some easy, like, out routes. There was a 3rd and 5, I think, to Ronnie Bell on an out route that he just flat out missed. He threw it high. Like, those timing throws haven't really been there all season, and like William's saying, I'd expect Purdue to play a lot of zone. And so you're going to have sustained drives down the field. And I'm sure the running game will be effective, but you're going to need to be able to consistently hit on a 5-yard out route, a 7-yard slant. Like, these throws over the middle of the field, these short completions, that is going to be there and not just the huge chunk plays.
Well, I think this also plays in the fact that I think this could be very helpful that you get 86 and 7 back. Because in a soft zone, then you can look underneath, and who loves to get the ball underneath. Okay. Luke Schoonmaker.
Schoonmaker's been very, very good.
That is true.
Loves
but I also ball. Will say that those drag routes are more of man beaters instead.
Well,
of,
in these zones, like, they like to chip the tight end, get him out outside the backfield. Get
well, if it's on a rollout, it'll be easier. But I think just from the pocket, it's tough for JJ to hit those kind of throws. And he's kind of shown this.
Do you think they design some rollout plays then?
They should.
I think they're going to throw a lot more out than you would have seen all season long. That's what they did last season, and they've proven now back-to-back years, even in Ohio State, like, those play calls were not even called all season long. Mm-hmm. So when you get to Indy, like, they're going to get creative. I can see them do some trick plays, some rollout plays, some really creative stuff, because, like, now it's time to empty the playbook. I mean, not, of course, this exact game, because you might have one or two more games after the fact, but the season's coming to an end whether you like it or not. And so you're going to start seeing Harbaugh just start saying, like, start giving us some plays. I mean, we're just going to throw anything at them that we haven't put on tape before, and maybe they're working on it all
not
season long.
Purdue.
Maybe not, but
he did it for Iowa.
This is still a winner.
They're not manballing at first. I think Iowa's different because that's a team that's like,
Iowa's defense was really good going into that game. It, like, people forget.
You have to.
They were a good team.
Speak like Michigan wants to run the ball down your throat first and foremost, and if they can do that, they're gonna do that.
Yeah,
that's the safest thing to do, and they want that. That's what Alabama always did in the early 2010s, and they can't do that really anymore. So they're having a tough time. But
can I just throw a counter? Sorry.
Of course.
Does this help? Does this kind of play into the fact of Blake Corm's injury? Because you give Blake Corm touches and touches and touches, and now he goes down. And I think part of the reason. And
It was a freak injury.
It could be a hindsight bias, but if you put that many touches on a ball carrier 30 times a game, he might get hurt. But now you have one running back.
I know, I'd completely agree. I hated seeing him getting 30 touches in the middle of the year against Nebraska. Like,
what's the point?
I hated seeing that. And I know sometimes it's what you have to do to grind out these games, whatever. But Edwards going down in the middle of the year and having to miss... Corum was having 30-plus carries a week.
Well, I think you saw the second half against Illinois and how the run game looked without Edwards or Corum.
Yeah, they didn't give JJ those touches down the field, and that's why he didn't hit those timing runs. He didn't hit these downfield balls until the last game, and you could argue, one, that could be just because they were saving it, or two, because they weren't that creative.
The issue is more they choose overwhelmingly to run inside with backs that can't really do that, and it'd be more helpful to run to the outside, but...
So kind of pulling it all together for you guys, just so we can kind of tie up this specific conversation for you guys. It is Thursday. It's the last TSR of the week. So I think we all are in a position now where we could probably give our picks for this Michigan-Purdue game. It's a game they should win, but they also are playing a team in a championship game that, of course, as we've seen, there have been crazier things that have happened in college football. So I'm going to go around the table, starting with you, Peter. I want you to give me your score predictions for the game. And anything else you want to add on this game so we can wrap up the Michigan-Purdue game Saturday, Big Ten Championship, Indianapolis. Peter,
I think Michigan's going to win. I think they're going to cover, too. I think they'll play well. I think that for a final score prediction, I'm not going to give an exact number, but I do think we'll put points on the board. But I do think Purdue will get a couple. So I'll give them I'll say we cover. I'm not going to go too specific, but I do think Michigan will take care of business and turn their sights to winning a national championship.
Charlie Jones versus Will Johnson. That's going to come down to the game. I don't think Michigan's going to play as much zone. I think they'll play more man coverage. I think Huckabee is really the key, the running back for Purdue. I think he's the key to this offense for Purdue. If they give him the football like they did in the second half against Indiana, they get going. So if they can stop the run, which I think they can do, I think they can win the line of scrimmage. It could be more of a grinded out game than we would like to see. Maybe JJ struggles in the first half. I think Michigan wins. I'll go by 3 scores, 42-21.
Like I said, I think that Purdue. I'm gonna say it since I'm on the radio. This defense from Purdue will be tougher for Michigan to beat than Ohio State's last week, but there's still this Michigan offense, so they're gonna score 38 points. Purdue, based on the fact that I believe Aiden O'Connell is a good quarterback, they have a good offense. Jeff Brohm is a good head coach. They're just out talented in this game. They're going to score 26 points. Purdue covers, the over hits. Michigan still wins.
Jeff Brohm is 3-0 against AP top 3.
Yeah, Purdue's scary against AP top 5, at least.
AP top 5 Ohio State. They're very scary.
He's still 3-0. Regardless, I think he drops to 3-1. Jim Harbaugh does not lose games to teams that he is severely more talented than, especially outside of rivalries. These are just not games he loses. And this team, mentally, I think, is in a really good spot. They're locked in. And I think it comes down to the defense. I think the defense is really, really turned a corner and is borderline elite, if not already elite. That back end is tremendous, and they get a lot of those guys back for next year. I think Michigan rolls 41-17. I just think the defense is stifling.
After listening to all you guys, I've heard a lot of really good points. I think a few things. Number one, Michigan's going to run the ball, which means they're going to take time off the clock, which means there won't be a ton of like big play scoring like we saw against Ohio State. I mean, Michigan was opening that scoring up when you can throw 65, 75-yard bombs down the field every single time. Those are really quick drives for both teams. I think this game's going to be a lot of a slower-paced game. It'll be a lot more of a ground-and-pound game, and I think Michigan's going to win 30-17 in this one. I think you're going to see Moody still be at a focal point. He's going to have to kick a few field goals. Michigan might get stopped in the red zone once or twice, but I think at the end of the day they're going to handle business, and it'll be kind of a cruise control win of sorts before they have to go and face the next opponent. But going into that point, kind of segueing into my next topic I want to speak with you guys on, say Michigan, like we all picked them to win. They should win this game. They might not win this game, but they should win this game. And despite them maybe losing this game, they still would have a pretty good chance at least of being number 4 in the college football playoffs. So,
They're a lock.
So,
I think TCU is too.
So going forward, I want to speak about the other teams in this college football playoff. And I want to get your guys' opinion on, if you're Michigan, say Michigan wins hypothetically in this situation. They come in at number 2, Georgia's number 1. Who would you rather face in the college football playoff? Would you rather face TCU, USC, Ohio State, or do you think there is another dark horse team that will jump everybody that Michigan will potentially face as the number three seed? Remember, keep that in mind. We're going to start with you, Peter. Who would you most rather face, and who would you least want to face if you're Michigan
after this game? I wouldn't want to face Ohio State. It's hard to beat a team twice, your biggest rival. I don't think that it's likely that we would come up to facing them unless it's in the championship game or Georgia loses to LSU, which I don't see happening either. USC, their defense is they like going for the turnovers, but their defense is not that good, but their offense is very good. So it would be an interesting matchup to see Caleb Williams and that USC offense going up against their defense. And then TCU, I think people do not give TCU credit. I think they're a good team. I think if we face TCU, I do think we would be favored to win and would win, but I do think it would be a closer game than people might think if we face TCU. But I'd say I would prefer to face TCU. Nothing against TCU, but I would prefer to face TCU, and I would not want to face the Buckeyes.
I love the let's defend TCU arguments, because you look at these other two teams, I don't think it's a question. I think it's TCU by a mile. You look at Caleb Williams, I have no interest in facing him. I don't care that they don't have a defense, but Caleb Williams is the Heisman Trophy winner.
He's very hot right now.
He will be, and he will be.
I want him in Honolulu Blue in 2 years.
I want him in the New York Giants. But I do think TCU definitely the team to face. They've had a great year, but they've shown some cracks. I don't think they've had a great schedule. They're playing the Big 12. I mean, yes, they beat Texas.
I'm going to firmly disagree with
you. But
finish your
point. Keep going, Matthew. Keep going.
And if you're saying the Big 12 is bad.
I'll keep going. But I just, when I look at these three teams, the talent level with Lincoln, the coaching with Lincoln Riley, and yes, Ryan Day is still a good offensive coordinator, and I don't want to face them twice in two in a month. So I'd go TCU, and I don't think it's close.
This is a...
Let's go.
Okay. I'm going to...
Please, yeah, shake us up a little bit, William.
So I would face USC. I'm not going to lie. This is a classic Lincoln Riley college football playoff team. And what do? They get in the playoff as the four seed, and they get smoked. Not choked. They get smoked
by Alabama.
No. Didn't they lose to Ohio State?
And Georgia.
Yeah, they've lost to all of these teams.
The big three teams.
And, well, Michigan right now, over the past 2 years, is one of those teams. So I don't believe in USC's game right now translating to the big stage under the bright lights, to quote John Mason. But the Pac-12 is more comparable to the Big Ten to me in terms of the depth of the conference, which is not that great, in my opinion. The bottom tier of the Pac-12 is about the same as the Big Ten. The Big 12 does not have a singular bad team, in my opinion. West Virginia beat Oklahoma. I don't think they're like the level of Indiana. Do you think?
Kansas? You still think they're...
Kansas look at the way TC... It's not about...
No.
Look at the way
undefeated,
they play.
Going undefeated through that schedule is an achievement.
It's like the Dickie V
of
college football right here. Let's go.
So, if you look at all the advanced metrics, Texas is like a top five team. I get they've had all these losses. No.
They would have beat Bama.
Texas stacks up. If you play a neutral site game with any team in the top 10, I would take Texas to cover if they're getting points. Kansas State is actually right behind TCU. They beat Kansas State.
The quarterback got hurt in that game, so I think this is going to be a very tough game for TCU.
Do you think Kansas State wins?
Back
think Kansas
wait, State are you wins, talking about think, Martinez?
Yeah. Well, I know Will State's, Howard.
Yeah,
that was
Will
his
Howard.
First
in,
game.
I think
that was
might
his first
be
game. That was his
but
first
anyways.
Game.
Anyways,
that was his first game. But I do.
I think TCU is more tested than USC. I don't believe in Lincoln Riley. I'm not sure I believe in Caleb Williams when he has to face a top-tier defense, and there's not a single one of those in the Pac-12. And lastly, USC has benefited from turnover luck to a degree that is unsustainable. If Michigan plays them, I think it comes to an end, because Michigan doesn't turn the ball over, and USC will be liable to throw some interceptions, I think.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Yeah, come on, Kellen. Give us something.
Mediator. I'm going to say the team I least want to play is Ohio State, and it's just for the same reasons.
I will say that. Like, I would not want to
play. I think we all agree.
Yeah, Ohio State would be
100%. I agree with that one, too, yeah.
Just, and even though Michigan dominated them, it's regardless. You just played them. It's hard to beat the same team twice.
If the luck flips the other way.
Exactly.
Who knows? Yeah.
It's just there's a lot more extraneous things that can go on. USC, I think, has a better chance of beating Michigan than, like, I think if you play a game 100 times, I think you against Michigan, USC wins that more than TCU does. But I think there's also way more games that USC gets blown out and just gets shut down. Because their defense is awful. Their defense is really bad. Caleb Williams is electric. He's phenomenal. He's everything a Heisman Trophy winner should be. But that defense is downright horrendous. And I think Michigan would have a field day with that. And I think Michigan would just kind of punch them in the mouth and they wouldn't really know what to do.
Well, if you look at the team on USC's schedule that's closest to Michigan, it's Utah. And they beat them.
And so I would say, now I do think, William, you're kind of playing football too much on a spreadsheet with TCU talking about
this. It's Williams' specialty.
TCU also has... TCU has the juice, okay? They won that game. They ran out that kicker with 10 seconds left.
No, I agree. Like, that's good coaching.
It reminds me...
They had 6-6 Baylor.
They don't have the talent to hang with Michigan. They have good players. They're a good team. But I think when it comes down to it, Michigan's just better. There's games where Caleb Williams just wills USC to a win because he's that good. I don't think there's anyone on TCU's side that – I don't think Max Duggan can do that.
Let me give a few points here, kind of summing it all up. I agree that I think I would rather still play TCU than USC only because I've seen the big potential from USC. But that said, I'm also now looking at TCU's schedule, and TCU has one of the most high-power offenses in college football. But the one game that stood out to me was their game against Texas, and they beat Texas 17-10, and arguably Texas is probably the closest team to Michigan that TCU has faced this season, and that game finished 17-10. And I think Michigan's offense is better than Texas's. So what I will say is if TCU does play a really solid defense that we know Michigan can play – and Michigan has now proven they can score on really good defenses like Ohio State's, like Penn State's, like Iowa's. I think that matchup, at least in the playoffs, Michigan's game translates better than TCU's. I think it's really scary in college football if you go up against a team that can score. I mean, look at Alabama for years. Alabama has never really had that stifling defense. I mean, before
this era.
Before they got, like, ridiculous quarterbacks. They won because of their...
But recently, they've had ridiculous quarterbacks with really mediocre defense, and look what happened last year. They got absolutely obliterated by Georgia, like Michigan did.
Well, that's because their number one receiver got hurt.
Okay.
They also played him for the second
My time. Whole point is it's teams with a just a solid offense and really no defense, it can go both ways. And I think that's how USC plays. USC is completely relying on their offense, and it is scary if you're a team like a balanced Michigan team that knows they have really good offense and really good defense. It's scary going up against a team like USC and even like Georgia. We haven't even spoken about Georgia yet. But that is really, really, really good offensively, that USC could put up 63 points in a game if they occasionally. Yes, they could.
Okay, against Colorado.
USC is not dropping 63 on Michigan.
No.
I agree. I don't want to get into a shootout against USC because
I don't think they will.
They have the weapons, but at the same time, like, USC has way more flaws than TCU does. TCU is a very well-rounded, well-coached, they're a good, strong football team, and I think TCU would beat USC. However,
no.
I just think against Michigan, there's more of a chance that USC could just kind of have an explosive offense.
All right, so speaking now of more hypotheticals, kind of we have about 3 minutes left here, so just throwing a few hypotheticals out there for you guys. Say TCU loses to Kansas State this weekend. Do you think the college football playoff will take TCU, or do you think they would take Ohio State? And do you think if USC, I guess, wins, would they jump to 3? Is that already a lock? Like, what do you think it happens in that hypothetical situation with TCU losing, USC winning, Michigan winning, Georgia winning?
I think this is very interesting because this is the first week the College Football Playoff Committee watches the games together. What does that mean? They're going to react live to these games. Yeah, so this is going to be quick. So I think TCU loses by multiple scores to Kansas State, and you see USC win, which I think is going to happen. I thought that Utah game was a little fluky. They were on the road. Cameron Rising, the quarterback for Utah, played the best game of his life. I don't think that happens this week, and I think Caleb Williams rolls. But if TCU loses 2-3 scores, you start to compare those resumes now, and you stack it up against Ohio State. Ohio State's got the better loss. Ohio State has won every game by double digits, and TCU has, besides that Michigan game because they lost, but the TCU schedule, they haven't blown out teams, and I think the committee loves the eye test. And if they watch the game and TCU loses by multiple scores, I think they're out.
Well, I think that's a huge if, because I don't think they're going to lose by multiple scores.
I think they will. Possibly. Why? Possibly. Why? I think that's very close.
Do you think lose close, do you think TCU's in?
I think they lose close. TCU's in. They're four, and they got to play Georgia.
Yeah.
And then Michigan plays USC.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So
I don't think the committee has respect
for Ohio State needs. No, I agree with that. Ohio State needs USC to lose, and probably TCU to lose pretty heftily. But again, there's a lot of really cool things going on right now with college football. That's why we love it so much. I mean, there's so many different scenarios that could occur. Michigan needs to handle business, and
I believe Michigan is favored by more against TCU in a hypothetical, or against USC in a hypothetical, than TCU.
Vegas knows.
But anyway, so I do want to thank you all for listening to the Daily Sports Report here on Thursday, December 1st. We had a lot of great conversations. Michigan needs to handle business this Saturday, and we hope they do. So for Matthew Levy, William Gregory, Kellen Flynn, and Peter Nasser, I'm Jake Singer. Thank you for listening to the Daily Sports Report tonight on WCBN FM Ann Arbor. As always, I wish you all a good night, and go Blue.